Now, just thinking about Apollo 11, how many people were working at Honeysuckle on a shift around the time of Apollo 11?
Somewhere around 30 operators and engineers and technicians on a shift. Now, it could have been more than that, depending on what phase of the mission we were in. But usually, the staff was split in half, and there were two shifts. So, yeah, I'd say averaging around about 30. Yes, and the two shifts, 12-hour shifts, and with a half-hour shift handover briefing at each end, which made it very tiring for the off-going shift if it was they'd been working there all night, and the last thing they wanted to do was sit in the conference room and explain to the new, fresh shift what was going on. And of course, the shift start and stop times changed with the various missions. They weren't always the same. I think Apollo 11, that the shifts changed over around about 7 o'clock in the morning. And I remember that morning when they were orbiting the moon and they were going to do the separation and descent. I remember, I think it was about 5:30 in the morning. I went out of my driveway and it was cold and bleak and miserable and dark. And driving all the way to the station and then hopping out of the car in the bleak, cold mountain air, sleet and rain, and rushing inside and coming into this huge area which was lit up, and it was all happening. There was voices, there was activity, there was people running around doing things. The transition was incredible from that outside to inside. It was like a stepping out of one world into another. And yes, that morning the bleary-eyed night shift were quite glad to hand over and go home. Then I remember we sat down and everything was working perfectly, and there was all data flowing, and we're all doing our station readiness test. We were probably pretty near finishing it. It was a sort of about a 4-hour operation, and we were just coming up to doing the interface testing with Houston. And getting the moon. I think the moon was due to rise.
Quarter past 11, the moon
rose. Quarter past 11, yes. And I remember hearing Neil Armstrong talking about an early moonwalk. And we thought, oh, gee, that's going to be, what are we going to do? We're not geared up for this. And I can remember John Saxon's eyes popping out of his head and the activity in the operations. At the operations console was pretty hectic, and we thought, wow, we could be prime station for this, and sure enough, we were.
That's because Parkes
Parkes,
couldn't acquire at that point.
No, because Honeysuckle being much further to the east, we had moonrise long before Parkes did.
And Parkes couldn't tip over as far, could they?
No, had the antenna right down on its horizontal limit on its stops, and they just couldn't get the signals that we had. But it all went very smoothly, and we waited for the long period of very slow activity after we'd acquired the moon had risen and we'd acquired the signal from the lunar module, and the astronauts were busy doing their pre-moonwalk checks. And they'd have been having their lunch break or tea break or whatever time it was. I've forgotten now, but it was a meal break. And then we heard they were getting into their space, putting their helmets on and their backpacks, life support systems on, getting ready to come out. And that's when, you know, we thought, gee, it's going to happen. This is what we've worked for the last couple of years for. And it was so exciting waiting for that television picture to appear that's on the video processing equipment, and we were sort of standing there watching and waiting. And yeah, at one stage I turned around and looked behind me, and there were, normally people were not supposed to be in the operations areas when operations were in progress, but at this particular stage we had a lot of support staff. There was the admin people, the office girls, the people from the stores came in, and there was people like the air conditioning mechanics, a couple of electricians, a carpenter, and they were all standing quietly behind me, and I didn't realise they were there until I turned around. And of course, at this stage, Neil Armstrong was coming down the ladder, and looking at those people again, they were all like the terracotta warriors in China. They were all standing there absolutely stone-faced, and their eyes fixed on the television monitor, and nobody was talking. They were just all standing there. Even the gardener that used to whiz around on his ride-on lawnmower most of the day, he'd abandoned his lawnmower and he'd come in. Even he was there. And you know, we didn't hunt them out. We just let them stand there. They weren't in anybody's way, and they weren't making any noise. But, yes, I'll never forget that.
Yeah. So where were you in relation to Ed von Rundrad's video console? not too far away, but close enough to see.
Well, close enough to stretch my long headset lead enough to go fairly close behind Ed von Rundrad. And look at the video processing racks of equipment and watch the video, the first video that we were getting from the broadband signal coming down, the first point of emergence it was on the slow scan converter. And basically, I was looking at that picture before the rest of the world was seeing it, because even though it was only a very small time difference, the fact that I was seeing it right at the point source where it emerged from the downlink broadband signal, I thought I was pretty privileged to be there. And of course, there were several other people there with their headsets leads stretched as far as they'd go so they could see. But of course, while I was standing there looking at this, I had the other eye fixed on the computer running lights to make sure that the computers were up and running. And of course, that would have been catastrophic if we'd have had a computer failure at that point. But fortunately, we sailed through the whole moonwalk without a problem. It was just perfect. Everything ran smoothly. And
I'm assuming that you weren't aware during the moonwalk whose television was being taken worldwide.
Oh, yes. I remember hearing the ops console saying they've just switched to Honeysuckle, or they're now taking video from parks and things like that. As all this was happening, the cafeteria or the canteen at the station was trying to get everybody fed. And do you think you could get anybody to go and eat? So I went down early. Some people went early, and then other people were in the second sitting. And I think the canteen staff had a frustrating day trying to keep meals hot. And I think it was around about 3 o'clock or about three in the afternoon when the night shift came back on again, and we were getting ready to go home. And I remember the trip home in the car, the four of us in the car. And we more or less drove all the way home, three quarters of an hour trip back to Canberra, and none of us hardly said a word. We were speechless. We were all, I think, wrapped up in our own thoughts. And I remember thinking, well, we've done it. But then on the other hand, I kept thinking to myself, my goodness, there's a lot of ground to cover yet. We've got to get them back off the surface. We've got to get them docked with a command module. And we've got to get them out of lunar orbit. I said, there's so many things that can still go wrong. It'd be dreadful if anything did. And of course, coming in the next morning, it was all over. They were on their way back, and it looked like it was going to be a success. But that trip home in the car, I'll never forget that. Just the silence of people wrapped up in their own sort of thoughts of what had just happened.
This interview with Brian Sullivan was recorded by Colin McKellar for honeysucklecreek.net in July 2009.